Welcome back to Holy Sisterhood, the podcast. My name is Brooklyn, and today I'm here with my friend Trish. Hi. She is a nurse practitioner, and as with every single one of these episodes this season, I've been really particular about who I've asked to come on. And so there's definitely a reason that I wanted her here today and that I've been praying about. But first, will you introduce yourself?
Perfect. Well, thank you for that. Yes. That's sweet of you. I'm Trisha Rinker. I'm a nurse practitioner. I've been kind of coming to New Life for 2 years now, and then just really kind of integrating more into like the life groups and everything. And so that's how Brooklyn and I met, and like really just buying into the sense of community here. And so myself and my family, we love it. And then as far as my medical background, I've been in medicine all my adult career. I started as a nurse assistant, and then I was a nurse, and I've been a nurse for 14 years now, and I've been a nurse practitioner for almost 3. And so I kind of have a wide background and everything. Yeah. So I was a nurse practitioner in family medicine and then in surgery, and worked with my husband in our general surgery practice, and then kind of branched off into some wellness stuff. So kind of do a little bit of everything. Plus, yeah. I'm a mom and a wife. And
how many kids do you have?
I have 2 daughters, and then my husband has 3 kiddos. So together we have 5, and they are real close in age. So it's right now it's an 11-year-old, an 11-year-old, a 9-year-old, a 9-year-old. And then a 4.5-year-old, yeah. Like, kind of like run around trying to keep up with everybody.
Whenever their ages do change, I'm sure it's really hard to keep track of.
Yeah, well, I was thinking the other day about, because I thought they were 12, 11, 10, and 9, but that's just in a couple months coming up.
Yeah.
So 6th grade, 5th grade, 4th grade, 3rd grade, and then preschool.
Yeah, I had someone ask me what year my son was born the other day, and I only have 2 kids right now, and I was like, I don't know, I felt like pressure, and I forgot, I was like, what, doing math, he's 1, so yeah.
They just keep changing.
Yeah, so I can't imagine that is funny, though. Mm-hmm. So I always say this, I always say I'm not going off the notes. You guys have heard me do this a lot, but things come to me. I kind of am curious. I just told you, I'm not going to stray from the notes that much, but here I am. Mm-hmm. What motivated you to kind of like, so you were the nurse's assistant, mm-hmm. and then a nurse, and then nurse practitioner. Mm-hmm. What would you say like motivated you to keep going or furthering your education?
Well, it's a combination. I think that I just wanted to be more and more involved and educated, and then a little bit of a nerd. So I love like the pathophysiology of things and disease processes. But then the more that I could just get in intertwined with like taking care of patients and having more of a say and being kind of that like resource for people, it just kind of kept motivating me.
Yeah.
And so.
And for maybe for those that don't know or aren't super familiar with the medical field, what is the difference between a nurse and a nurse practitioner?
So a nurse can either be an associate's degree or bachelor's degree. So it's 2.5 years of training or 4 years of training. So I kind of went the unconventional. And so I got my associate's degree and then my bachelor's degree. And then a nurse practitioner is a master's degree in nursing. So you go back and it's just further education. You have the ability to actually like diagnose things and prescribe medications. And so that was an extra 2.5 years onto nursing.
Yeah.
And it's just, you're kind of in that middle ground between a physician and a nurse. So you have more training to diagnose and prescribe medication. Mm-hmm. You can be a resource to physicians as far as like helping the plan of care. And it helps to be kind of in a team effort with that. So that's,
yeah. I love that. Mm-hmm. Do you... I'm not actually like super familiar with it, but do you have to work under a doctor or no?
In Wyoming, you don't have to. Okay. And so the way that we're set up, and I think that probably it's like a rural community, and there's been some pushes with nurse practitioners having more authority in their practice. So you do practice under your own license. Maybe I personally, I've always worked in conjunction and collaboration with other physicians just because I think that it's the best delivery of healthcare.
Yeah, like what, no matter what, even if you were like a physician, you'd probably still want to work with other physicians. That's just, yeah.
Well, I just think it's like a collaborative environment and not one person knows everything about everything. And feeding off of each other. And I just think it's a better way to practice medicine.
So we're in a group together, and I haven't told you this, but we'll just, I'll tell you here on the podcast, but you actually treated me. It was a long time ago. It was when you were working with your husband. And yeah, it was like for a colonoscopy and stuff. So it was like, yeah, but what I wanted to say was it was like so great working with you, and you are like a great, I always say doctor, because you do have like that knowledge, and I know legally you're not a doctor, but, your practice was great, and you were great.
Sweet of you. Well, so, that's good.
I keep meaning to tell you, and then we're like in group, and I'm like, should we talk about colonoscopies or what should we do? Yeah.
So, well, good. I don't remember that, but yeah. I didn't expect you to. Faces, but not necessarily names, but yeah, that's, I mean, that's my goal is settings. To make people feel comfortable. Nobody wants to go to the doctor for that.
Especially,
you know?
Yeah, for that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like hemorrhoids and stuff. So yeah. It wasn't the best, but you made it great. So thank you.
You're welcome. Appreciate you telling me that.
So we decided to do this episode to kind of talk about, as we've been talking about emotions all season, and I say this every time, but just how God created emotions for good to lead us back to Him. He also created our bodies, obviously, and our nervous system and all the things. And I think that they work close together, kind of like you were saying, like very collaborative between our emotions, our mental health, our physical health, and our spiritual health. So we wanted to kind of touch on that. And I thought having Trish on would be great because you do a lot of research. You have had all the schooling and stuff. So just kind of prefacing where we're going with that. But one of the questions I wanted to ask you was, in today's culture, we are learning. I do feel like it's more known that there is a correlation between the physical body and our mind and our heart. Have you noticed through your practice, whether it was when you were a nurse or at your old, or where your old, was it internal medicine, or what was the one with your husband?
Well, he's a general surgeon and a vascular surgeon. So we do that. But I've always had an interest in family practice. So I'd kind of do some general medicine as well in that.
Okay. Yeah. So in that, or anything you've done really, have you noticed, that is true? Like that there is a connection between the body and the mind. And then in general, can you describe how they impact one another, like simply? I know that's kind of a very broad question.
I mean, yeah, they're all intertwined. I noticed that in my practice and then just everyday life and research. And then the more that I grow closer to God, you just know that we are both our body and our spirit. You know, you can't have one without the other as far as health goes. So if your body's failing or you're not taking care of yourself, it's just makes you have to focus on both your mental and your spiritual strength to kind of compensate for that, or vice versa. If your spiritual and mental health is not where it needs to be, then you don't take care of your body as much. And then you start to have just slowing down and deterioration of health over a long period of time. And I think that we all probably can vouch for that personally. And then also like the research is there to back that too.
Yeah, I know. I think it's, I love when the Bible says things and then the science community says it like later or proves it scientifically. And you're like, it's so cool because God already knew that. But now we have like these results that prove it.
Yeah. And I feel like science and God just like are working so closely. I mean, science, the whole premise of that is to kind of figure out what God already knew in the first place. And so that's why I nerd out on things so much, because everything is just made so perfectly. I mean, just the intricate details of the body and how it works. And then I think that science is a tool and like a gift that people can kind of figure that out.
So do you feel closer to God doing that? Like you're kind of learning alongside Him. And yeah, kind of like, oh, wow, this is how you did this. Like, it's so cool to see how you created this. I feel like that with art, like with him, because he, like, I mean, paints sunsets and and created all the mountains and the beautiful things. So sometimes when I'm creating, I'm like, I feel closer to him as a father. But then you're like in a science mindset, like.
Yeah, I mean, the more that I become closer to God, then I just am like, he's just up there looking at us being like, I knew you would figure that out someday, you know?
Yeah.
So, and I think that it doesn't have to be one or the other. It can be science and faith and spirituality and God.
For
and
sure.
It's all just, I mean, he gives us tools to take care of other people. So when we
well,
can do
even
that, it works
like
out.
Steven, my husband, and how Quinn connects with him, and then our one-year-old, kind like he's obviously one. So he has a connection with him, but it's not super unique yet. But just watching his connection with Quinn and seeing like, oh, that's so cool. They like to talk about animals and how things are made. I think it's cool that God is the same for us. Like we connect with him with the gifts that he's given us.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, that's a total side note.
Mm-hmm.
So this podcast is the Holy Sisterhood. So we obviously speak mostly to women, I believe. Mm-hmm. I don't know of any men listening, but there could be. But have you seen women's hormones affect like their emotions? Mm-hmm. There's science that proves that cycles and things like that definitely affect our hormones and how our bodies are working. And then I felt personally, like obviously through cycles or pregnancy or whatever, when there's big hormone shifts, I can see that my that my emotions are very different.
Mm-hmm.
So have you seen that in your practice?
Mm-hmm. I mean,
even
for
like
sure.
Adolescents.
Mm-hmm. For sure. I think that hormones and shifts and sleep habits and dietary habits all have a huge impact on our emotions and how we feel. And I think that if we can learn about our own bodies more, it seems like if people have a higher spiritual health and they want to take care of their bodies more, they know that it was like a temple that God blessed us with. And so we want to keep it healthier. That's just been my experience too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the female body and the female hormones and cycles, it was just made so uniquely.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can kind of learn to celebrate that and learn about it a little bit more, I think that that helps. But certainly not everything is fun.
No, but I actually really love that. I love that you said like celebrate like how God made us, because there is, and I'm very guilty of this, like this negative stigma about like periods
mm-hmm.
or menopause or mm-hmm. perimenopause or pregnancy or teenage years. I have a mm-hmm. sister who's 16. But yeah, we could kind of shift the narrative, right? And like look at it as mm-hmm. A way that just God created us specifically.
Yeah. I mean, it was so purposefully,
mm-hmm.
you know, to create women to support and nourish communities and be able to create life. I mean, like your pregnancy is like, mm-hmm. if you think about all of the things that have to happen perfectly
mm-hmm.
and that you just have such a superpower to be able to do that. And even if you're not somebody that can have pregnancies,
mm-hmm.
just to nurture and care for your community and be a woman and that power that has and celebrating all of those different cycles and processes.
Yeah. And because of the way that he made us and those processes and cycles and hormones and all the things probably is connected to how we are as women nurturers.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, though, I see women specifically, and I mean, I've seen my husband, too. But like I said, we're mostly speaking to women. I see women specifically nurture others
mm-hmm.
or nourish their children
mm-hmm.
And kind of not their own bodies.
Mm-hmm.
So is there anything that you can think of that would be nourishing to the body mm-hmm. specifically to deal with like things like that?
Mm-hmm.
And I know you wanted to say, so you can go ahead and say like your caveat. I know you wanted to say like you were.
Oh, yeah. Well, just that I'm not ahead. People's regular primary care mm-hmm. provider. So obviously I think that you should when you're thinking about your health, you really need to get in contact with somebody that if I'm your person, perfect, mm-hmm. but if you have a primary care or a medical provider that you have a trusting relationship with, then you want to go to them for sure.
Yeah. This is very generalized.
Mm-hmm.
Trish is not trying to say I'm your doctor and this
I'm not
is
trying
exactly
to get myself into trouble.
Yes, but. Exactly. So keep that in mind.
But, I do think that women, in particular, I mean, most of the women that I speak to, they do take care of everybody else. It's mm-hmm. like our job to take care of everybody else. And then we kind of forget about our own health,
mm-hmm.
which I don't think that we're necessarily doing glory to God by doing that.
No, yeah.
I think that if we know that we have to take care of ourselves, we're worth taking care of. It's loving to ourselves and to God to take care of our bodies and our spirit and our mental health. And then we can kind of overflow to everybody.
Right.
And everybody who's tried that. See, I feel like it's just like tried and true and proven mm-hmm. every single time. But we do tend to put ourselves after caring for other people, mm-hmm. which I think, yeah, you have to take care of your children. But there's going to be no taking care of your children if you are totally empty and you're not filled up spiritually and you're not taking care of your body and mental health.
Yeah. Two thoughts. One is that, like you said, like it brings glory to God to take care of yourself. There was, I think we're kind of coming out of it a little bit, but maybe not. But there was a time when self-help was like, you know, a huge mm-hmm. fad trend thing. And I'm not saying self-help is wrong, but I do think I was watching it kind of like swing too far one way, mm-hmm. like very self-focused. I have to do all of these things. Mm-hmm. But now we're kind of coming back to the middle a little bit, and we can't go too far to the other way of not taking care of ourselves at all and mm-hmm. being like a martyr for our children or husband mm-hmm. or whoever. But I was thinking about like Quinn, if she is not taking care of herself, like even if it's brushing her teeth, like, or I don't know, like saying negative things about herself, mm-hmm. it hurts my heart. I'm like, I love you so much. Mm-hmm. You're so great. I love how perfectly you're made. And I just imagine that God is the same way with us. Mm-hmm. When he sees us doing damaging things to our bodies or ignoring pain signals that maybe mm-hmm. are telling us something is wrong, I would imagine that his heart is hurting. And mm-hmm. he's like, you're my child. I don't want you to feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is one of the things I was thinking. The other is, have you seen it true where it's like, if you don't rest, you will be made to rest? Like, mm-hmm. if you don't take care of yourself, you will get to a point where you don't have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that?
I mean, absolutely. I try to like tell people that all the time, like keeping up with your preventative health and being proactive rather than reactive. Mm. And then when I was kind of researching a bit for this podcast, I just was seeing that the rate of chronic illness has increased more than I had even thought. Like in 2021, I think it was 24% of people in their adult life had been diagnosed with multiple chronic disease. And
so that's like 1 in 4 mm-hmm. in 21, right?
Yeah. And then it was 54% in 2019 with the statistics that I saw. And I think that to your point that we had talked about earlier is maybe we're a little bit more educated on it or paying attention to it more. But then also I think that our sleep habits and our dietary stuff and our inactivity and then any preventable things like tobacco use, those types of things. And then I think that there's some sort of a cultural shift with being busy. And so that probably takes away from rest and sleep and just taking care of yourself.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. it's just like idolized to just keep going, going, going.
Mm-hmm.
So that's half, right? You said like 1 in 2 mm-hmm. have at least one chronic illness.
Yeah, it's just...
And chronic illness, what is the description of that? Like it's over, is it over 6 months?
Mm-hmm.
Or I think it's 6 months.
Yeah.
Of an illness, mm-hmm. correct? Yeah. And then even like autoimmune, I've just seen, like thinking about even my circles, I'm like, yeah, it is like mm-hmm. half of the people have something that they deal with regularly.
Yeah.
So preventative care, can you speak to some general things like mm-hmm. that could help?
Yeah.
Or how we can nourish our bodies. Mm-hmm.
I think that it's a multifaceted approach to it, right? Like mm-hmm. we know that we should be sleeping enough, like 7 to 9 hours a night, mm-hmm. making that a priority. Eating healthy foods. I think that there's a shift to try to find out what's actually healthy. But for a long time, what people thought was healthy maybe wasn't. Having a relationship with a physician or a practitioner that you trust.
Mm. And how is that helpful?
Well, I think it's just like having somebody in your corner that you can call. It's like, you know, you want to go to the dentist twice mm-hmm. a year. You want to get your eyes checked routinely. You want to make sure that you're brushing and flossing and maintaining a healthy weight and all of these things. And then you want to, it's just like a vehicle. You would have like a checkup and an engine check and oil change and stuff. And so going to make sure that your blood pressure is good, getting annual labs done, and just meeting some with somebody that you can catch things beforehand and be proactive. Mm-hmm. It's just like having a teammate in your corner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, and their main goal is to be preventative, mm-hmm. so that you don't deal with things later, or when something does come up, they know you. Mm-hmm. You have a relationship with them.
Yep.
And they can probably treat you more specifically, mm-hmm. than if you were to just go to like the walk-in or mm-hmm. something, right? Mm-hmm. I was guilty of not having a primary care doctor until like 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. Like, and I didn't really understand why. And then I had all these random things happening, and they were really great about overlooking all of it for mm-hmm. me, instead of like specialized doctors mm-hmm. will look at what it is. But yeah,
or I somebody that's never that. Met you.
Yeah.
They'll just look at that one thing rather than the whole picture of things. So I think that that's good to do that. And then just in general, I mean, if you get a tiny step out of line with your health, and then you can correct it easily. But if you're on this trajectory of not taking care of yourself, and you do that over years or decades, then it's sometimes a little harder, and then you are stuck with long-term consequences for that.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. very true. And then speaking to the emotional part of this and our emotions and our feelings, having a primary care doctor has been great for me, because I can, like, I have built rapport with her, and mm-hmm. So I can be like, yeah, this really stinks. Like, mm-hmm. I'm really upset by this. And mm-hmm. I can actually talk to her about how I'm feeling mentally and emotionally mm-hmm. as well. And even just validation from her, or like, yeah, that does stink. Yeah. And just connecting with her about mm-hmm. that is very helpful. Mm-hmm. And I know that we had talked about connection and how important that is. And I think that is a facet of it, is having somebody that you can connect with emotionally, mm-hmm. share, and then work through it. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
So what about sleep? Do you know, I mean, there's very general things that I think a lot of us hear, but sometimes we need to hear it again. So what are some things that you would recommend with sleep? You said 7 to 9 hours for mm-hmm. women. Okay.
Yeah, and I think that there's research that women need just a little bit more than men. So mm-hmm. something to consider, like the 8 hours, and making that a priority and a routine. I mean, and then there's research about eliminating screens before bedtime, not eating too close to bedtime. Mm-hmm. Just like really protecting that as an important part. I think that sometimes people get so busy and then they're like, well, I'll just do it later, or I'll get up earlier and do it. And maybe that's okay every now and then, but kind of throwing sleep to the wayside as your first plan of action is probably not the best.
That's so true. That is always, I'm like, well, I guess I'll sleep less.
Mm-hmm. And then on a personal note, I mean, I just know that my ability to deal with stressors, if I get more tired, goes down significantly. Mm-hmm. So if you fill yourself up and you're rested, and then you have all of those different like layers of armor to deal with normal stresses of life, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you have a routine, like a bedtime routine? That,
I mean, it's something I'm always working yeah. on, especially with like all of the kiddos at home.
It's definitely, you know, personalized. I feel like everybody's mm-hmm. is a little bit different. But mm-hmm. yeah, I was just curious, what is yours?
We try to do like 10 o'clock to 6 a.m. Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. We and then I always 7:30 right now.
7:30
yeah. at PM.
Oh, well, my kiddos go to bed at 8 or 8:30.
Oh, okay.
But yes, I go to bed at 10.
So that you have.
So then I can have a little bit of time. But yeah, I mean, it's a constant battle, right, to get everybody in bed. And I'm just like every other mom that's running around trying to get people's teeth brushed yeah. and hair brushed and into bed and mm-hmm. books read and prayers said and all the things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have noticed that I've been, yeah, staying up later to be like alone, but it's not necessarily like intentional quiet time or anything like that. It's just literally like, I just want to be for a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I think that I could do it in a better way if I planned for it and then also accounted for getting enough sleep. Mm-hmm. Like, like waking up earlier and going to bed earlier, mm-hmm. things like yeah. that.
But having purposeful time,
yeah,
or kind of an organization to it.
Definitely yeah. intention, because then if it's not intentional, I notice that it's more numbing mm-hmm. Focused, like binging Netflix. And I mean, I do that. There's nothing, I'm not saying don't do that ever, but making it a habit is mm-hmm. definitely yeah. not great.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah. So I want to talk about emotions now. I want to go over to that side of things. Mm-hmm. What happens when we cry? Do you know? Like the because isn't there something in the tears?
Yeah. And then there's difference in the physiology of sad tears versus happy tears. And it's really? Been a long time since I've read about that for sure. But I do think that it's an emotional release. I think it's mm-hmm. it's okay and important to cry if that's what you are. I don't think that people that don't cry as much should feel necessarily bad about it. Yeah. Sometimes people just cry more than others. But having some sort of healthy outlet for your emotions, I think, is so important, mm-hmm. whether it's, you know, working out or meditation or sitting in prayer or having a good cry if you need to. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think all of that's important. Having people to talk to and having a community is important too.
Yeah. I've heard mm-hmm. that tears are healing, and mm-hmm. I don't think they're like physically healing, but yeah. Doesn't it release a hormone though?
Yeah. I think that there's a hormone release, and it's almost like has a calming effect okay. to it mm-hmm. too. Like I said, it's been a long time since I've
read about
that. I
just
didn't
know the happy tears thing though.
Mm-hmm. There is some research about it.
It's cool.
I'll have to look it up and let you know what it does say, but
I don't think I've ever mm-hmm. had me cried. And I don't really sad cry either. So maybe I just mm-hmm. don't. That's just not, I don't know.
I'm not a huge crier either, but I've had some both ways. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you'd think I would. Like I felt bad when like my kids were born and I didn't cry. Mm-hmm. But like it's I don't know. Or I got married and I didn't cry. Steven mm-hmm. cried a lot. Like which was so strange to me, but I just don't cry. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I don't think you should feel bad about. Everyone's a little different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. But laughter too that also releases something in our brain, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I think that laughter is healing for yeah. sure. I mean, there's been some hard times that the only way that you can get through is just to kind of laugh and have people make you laugh. So if any of my friends are ever having a bad day, that's my love language. I just try to send them funny things. Funny.
And yeah, me too. I mean, mm-hmm. even, and this is actually probably more of a trauma response, but when like bad things, I'll make a joke about it. Mm-hmm. And that might be me like trying to ignore the bad thing, but laughter definitely mm-hmm. is healing.
And it's universal.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. definitely. Have you ever like laughed really hard and then realized like, wow, I haven't done that in a long time. And you just feel mm-hmm. lighter and like whatever hormone it is that's released, mm-hmm. you know, is it?
Probably like a dopamine or serotonin release.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I can feel that in my brain mm-hmm. like, and I feel my body calm down.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of things that are natural serotonin and dopamine releases. And that's the same with like working out.
Okay.
And being with friends and laughing certainly is one. So those things have to be incorporated.
Mm-hmm. You know? And so the connection, the being with friends, that also releases the dopamine or serotonin.
Mm-hmm. Being outside in sunlight, that's mm-hmm. also a good practice to be too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was writing down a list of things actually to nourish my body the other day because I've noticed – I've like physically, you know, had kidney stones and stuff mm-hmm. and it's been hard. And then I noticed that also then my mental health was kind of going mm-hmm. because I was stressed about that and being in pain isn't fun. And then my emotions are a little bit out of mm-hmm. whack there. But yeah, those were some of the things that I wrote down. Being mm-hmm. outside. I can't like work out right now, but walking,
mm-hmm.
Drinking enough water. And then, yes, being with friends, having like that actual connection where you can be vulnerable and it's seen and heard
mm-hmm.
and it's like the feelings are reciprocated back mm-hmm. to you. Yep. I think that's important too, mm-hmm. because also I have had where I like try to tell someone something and they have good intentions, but it's not really, I don't feel heard.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't really help.
Yeah.
So you have to have that like
mm-hmm.
good group of friends that really knows you well, sure. right?
That's one of our favorite things about life group is because then you're kind of with like-minded people and people who care about you and have the same vision on things. So you do have to be cautious about who you are vulnerable to, but it's important.
Have you noticed benefits from being in life group?
We love it.
Yeah.
For sure. The women's group. I love being in friend groups or in social situations where you can just be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a difference between having to be like networking or on point or like those types of things.
Or even like, I'm sure there's a lot of situations where you do need to be professional.
Or you just don't know the person very well. And then there's just a different atmosphere of life groups and around like a good friend group that you just can be yourself and relax and wear sweatpants and just.
I know. I love that.
Uh-huh. So it's fun.
And then you and your husband are in a couples group too, right?
Yeah. We do a family life group as well.
Okay. Family life group. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's good too.
Yeah. Like, our kids love it. And it's just so good for you to nourish yourselves and yourself as a couple. And like that unity is so important to your family and your kids' lives and stuff. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We did a marriage podcast last week. And we kind of talked about that. Like, I love having our women's life group because it is different than our couples life group.
Yeah.
But I also love our couples life group because then it's like brings us closer as a family too. So,
yeah,
doing both. Okay. So I'm kind of just bullet pointing this, but I was wondering if you could speak to the link between our diet, and the health of our guts and how that's related to emotions or mental health.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like to nerd out on this stuff because I truly think that there's a link between what we put in our body and then the output of our brain function and our hormones and everything. And I think that there's a huge push for eating healthier and like the chemicals in our food and stuff like that. And how, you know, our children respond if they have a bunch of processed foods or too much sugar or dyes or those types of things. And I think it just goes back to like you nourishing your body with appropriate things, and then you're going to get the output that you want, you know? But I think it's good to be conscious of our diet for sure and how that affects our sleep patterns. And we can all see the correlation. Like if you eat something awful and then you don't sleep very well and then your stomach kind of hurts and then maybe you have brain fog or a headache and like that links. I mean, it's all there.
But I honestly think, and I've been guilty of this, that we don't slow down enough to notice.
Mm-hmm.
Like even I've done this and I've had friends do this too, where it's like, oh, I have a headache. I don't know why. Or gosh, I've not been sleeping good. And I never am like, well, what did you eat today? Like,
and they don't even pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've all been there. So I usually tell people like keep a food diary.
Yeah.
So just like the fact of writing it down can make you notice things that you wouldn't otherwise notice. Like maybe sometimes when I eat this thing or drink this thing, then I'll feel like not very good the next day.
That totally makes sense. I notice it a lot with Quinn. Like I can notice definitely she's very sensitive to dyes and sugars, and I think a lot of kids are, but there's just like a very, like if she is bouncing off the walls, I will go back and be like, okay, what did she have today? And then I'll be like, oh, she did have that sucker today.
But
I don't do that with myself.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of strange. So yes, food diary and being intentional about and I like how you worded, it's almost transactional, like what you put in,
you're
going to get out.
Yeah. I was watching something on a podcast and he said, try to eat the foods that you love, but then also love you back. And if they don't love you back, then it's probably not a good thing to have in your life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And everyone is so different. So it's so hard to be like, eat this, this, and this.
Yep. Well, we don't all fit in boxes.
Yeah, right.
Because
God made us all uniquely.
Yep.
And some of us have sensitivities to things that others don't. And
I
love that. What's strange is, this is total side note and whatever, but Porter, my one-year-old, he hates tomatoes. But he really wants to love them. So I don't know why. My grandma always has a bowl of cherry tomatoes out because she gardens from a greenhouse. So she always picks them. They're just there. And I eat them and I like them. But he always, always, always wants one. And then he'll eat it. And then he'll like or he'll chew on it and he'll gag and like shake. And then he'll get a different one and try again. And I'm like, what are you doing? Why do you keep doing that? But then I noticed he started getting a rash around his mouth. And then he ate spaghetti one night and then got like hives on his face.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't sure that it was the spaghetti. I was like going through the whole day. But then like a couple weeks later, we had lasagna with tomato sauce and the same mm-hmm. thing happened. And I was like, oh, I think you have a sensitivity to tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
But what's strange is that you also hate them. Mm-hmm. Like, and then it's almost like your body is telling you like, oh, that's not good. Don't eat that. Even though he's really stubborn and he's like, no, I will like tomatoes when he does it.
Yeah.
But
interesting. It's like a fire alarm that goes off in your body to tell you something's wrong, you know?
And
like
it totally makes sense. Skin conditions
and everything. Mm-hmm.
And what about like pain? Like the way that our pain receptors are, and I don't know if that's the right word, but our pain receptors that link to our brain, the way that they're set up is, hey, something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You should check this out.
Yeah.
How many people have you seen like that? Is it common for people to be like, yeah, I felt that for like years. And so now I'm here.
For sure.
Because I literally can't walk or whatever it is.
Pain or like abdominal discomfort or headaches or skin problems or even like anxiety, you know, it's all just a fire alarm going off to tell you something's wrong.
Yeah.
You know,
but we want to be like self-sufficient maybe or not make the time.
Or we'll treat the symptom of it.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's not a ton of ability to get to the bottom of it sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
Like sometimes the research, we just don't know. And sometimes in medicine, they don't teach you all of that.
Right.
So you'll treat the disease, but then you really need the patient to advocate with you for themselves about trying to find what the actual problem is.
Yeah. Can we talk about that? About advocating for yourself within medicine?
Mm-hmm.
I have dealt with it in the last year, I think, is the first time that I've advocated for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Having somebody that you trust that you see is really helpful because then it is like, okay, we both want what's best.
Mm-hmm.
But I hear from a lot of women, and I don't want to like be negative or too broad, but just that aren't getting the results they want from their healthcare or feel like they're being heard.
Mm-hmm.
Can you speak to just like what advocating is, how it can be helpful? What are some ways that we can advocate for ourselves? I think it's scary for people to do. So I don't know. I just feel like that's important.
Well, I think it's twofold. I think one, it's taking ownership in your health and really buying into that you need to take care of your body.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, as a medical provider, you can tell somebody that they need to do something over and over and over, but if they don't really buy into it, and I don't know, I think it's a combination between your provider really discussing with you what the benefits of that is and like how that can actually help. Because if you don't understand, you're not going to change what you do.
Right.
And then the patient or any person just wanting to get better and take that advice, but then also it has to be a good fit because even if that provider is the most brilliant provider and you have all the good intentions as a patient, if there's not a connection there, like if that trust and connection isn't there, then you're just not going to meet on the same page. So you really have to find who you mesh with. Same with like life groups. Like if you don't mesh, then find another one. Mm-hmm. It's not that life groups are bad. It's just that you're not in that right one that you need to be in.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I think that people don't realize that they can switch doctors.
Mm-hmm.
Like you just
you don't want to be mean or it's just like we get in our own heads about it. And I think it's okay to find somebody that is right for you.
Gosh, I've spent so many times like I have like chronic things with my reproductive system and I've spent so much time like just being scared to call and be like, hi, I need to be seen because this is really bad. Or I was just seen, but it's gotten so much worse or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I get so nervous about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I'm not alone because I've talked to many women that feel the same way. And I don't really know why, but it could be because, like you said, that trust isn't there and you don't feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
So with counseling, I've talked to people about like, yeah, you got to work through it and find the right counselor that you feel safe enough that you can be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same then with like physical doctors or within the medicine.
Because if you're bought into the process and you trust that person, then you're likely going to have better outcomes because you're going to be working in collaboration with somebody rather than not connecting on that level.
Yeah, that's so good. I haven't really like put a lot of thought into that, but yes, that makes sense. So if you don't, if you and your doctor aren't meshing, if you don't feel heard, and this is maybe not even the doctor's fault, but you're just not meshing, seek another doctor. I mean, it's not that simple. And I know that. I know it's expensive and I know it's hard to find, but it is worth it.
Yeah. And then I think like educating yourself too, you can't always take every single thing at face value of what somebody says. So I just think that people should be an active participant in their health.
Yeah. So that's another facet of advocating for yourself is researching.
Yeah.
So is that a double-edged sword?
Oh, for sure. I mean, if you Google something, you're for sure going to have like cancer of some kind, you know, so you have to be careful and take that with a grain of salt. But it's really about you and your healthcare team working in collaboration rather than you working independently. And they have training and have gone to school and see things differently, you know, so it's important to have both.
Yeah. I was talking to someone the other day that has really bad back problems. So she was telling me how bad her back problems are and how her doctor just wasn't listening to her and doing all these treatments that were hurting her. And then I was like, okay, but did you say that to him? And she's like, well, I said this. And I was like, but that wasn't like, that was, you were inferring to it, but like, I want you to tell him exactly what you just told me because they are just trying to do your best or do their best.
Yeah.
Doctors don't want to hurt you like majority.
Yeah, for sure.
But they can only do with what they know.
What they know and you talk to them about.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, I am a Google doctor if they had a degree.
Yeah.
So I'm sure, that's why I asked if there's a double-edged sword, because sometimes I know that it can be annoying when I'm like, but this, and this say this, and you're saying this. One thing that I try to do is make sure that the source is reliable. And explain to them and then have a conversation about it instead of being like, well, Google says that I have cancer, so I'm sorry to tell you that I do have cancer.
I will be needing you to prescribe something. I think too, having a provider that will sit down and explain it to you. I mean, they have dedicated a lot of their lives to learning about medicine and taking care of people and stuff. And so I have the utmost respect for that. Yeah. So, but if you have a question, then having somebody that sits down and say, okay, I know that it said that, but the reasons that it doesn't apply to you is this, this, and this.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about that, but I have already ruled it out because of these things that I've, and just having somebody sit down and say that to you.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, okay.
That well, at least
it's on their radar.
Like last week that happened to me. And they told me one thing and then I did my Google thing, 'cause I always do. And, then brought it to their attention. We actually had a phone call and I was like, well, this is what's scaring me. This is what this says. This is why I don't think this is the right plan. And they did. They were like, well, I know those things and I have seen those studies, but actually, like, that's a totally different situation and that doesn't apply to you. And this is a specific situation that those things aren't even
applicable. So then you were probably like,
yeah, so then I felt so much better. And if I would have not either, so like, probably in the past, I would have either not done it at all, done the plan, or I would have like just done it and been so anxious the whole time and never talked to my doctor about it.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's advocating for yourself again.
And it's you working as a team.
A team, yeah. And yeah, them being like, okay, I'll take the time to hear what you're saying and I get why. But I've also had doctors really not like when I do that, which I also understand.
Well, some people can make themselves kind of scared and for some reason. But I mean, they have to reflect and just make sure that you know their reasoning behind things.
Yeah. And they are a doctor or like a nurse practitioner. And you guys are so smart and know so much. That's not my daily life, like, or most people's daily lives. So some things maybe that they think that you should just know or forget that you just don't know are left out. And so you have to be honest and vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, okay, I don't get that.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
And yeah, like you said, they can't know unless you tell them.
Right.
Stuff. The vast majority of providers that I've ever worked with, and then being married to one, they just truly care about their patients, and they want you to do well and stuff. So,
yeah, mm-hmm. But like we said, they can only do with what they know.
Mm-hmm.
I did want to read this verse. I think it is a really good, kind of ties it all together. It's from 1 Thessalonians 5:23. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I just really like it because it says it does like clarify and differentiate whole spirit, soul, and body. So mm-hmm. like mind, heart, and mm-hmm. our physical bodies.
Yeah.
The Bible says that they all work together.
Mm-hmm.
And then this one from Proverbs is a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. So again, saying what you were saying earlier, like laughter and or a cheerful heart is really, really good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Crushed spirits, not taking time to look at our emotions or work through them in a healthy way, will eventually affect our health.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's amazing what stress can do, like unharbored stress. Yeah. And so I think that having good coping mechanisms and having the outlets of things that we know, like if we know that scrolling on social media right before bedtime is bad, but we do it anyway, like all of those things, it's like compiles and it can be a domino effect. So,
mm-hmm. And I think we just don't see how much or how, I don't know the right words, but how many times a day that we are doing those little things that we think are just little, like, oh, I'm just going to scroll tonight
mm-hmm.
before bed.
Mm-hmm.
But how it does all compile and eventually does affect.
Mm-hmm. There's also a big push for, I mean, we've been talking about emotions and stuff, and you think about the amount of depression and anxiety there is. And sometimes I wonder, and I haven't researched, but it's just kind of a wonder of mine that is it really a mental state that we're worried about or a spiritual state, you know?
Yeah. Like,
are people just kind of spiritually not connected? And and then that leads to a little bit more anxiety and depression, because I think that's important.
When you carry everything yourself and you're not like yoking yourself with Jesus, and it's heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely could see that. Is there anything else that you wanted to add?
Mm-hmm.
Anything else that
So you read those two, and I found this Corinthians one that I thought that was applicable. So it says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought at a price. So glorify God in your body. And I think about that a lot too, you know, when we have those decisions to nourish our body and take care of ourselves, are we doing so to glorify God and to know that it's not all about yourself? It's about taking care of your kids, and your family is taking care of you.
Mm-hmm.
And so prioritizing that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, that definitely. Yeah, that is really good. Do you think, I feel like, you know, I'm just going to ask you a rhetorical question, but it's so much. Okay, I'll just say it. Sorry. It's so much easier to do the things that are not healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And we're tempted because we have an enemy that does not want us to be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
It does not want us to show up for our family mm-hmm. or our church or our friends or whoever it is that mm-hmm. needs us. So I feel like it is a lot easier. And again, there's the temptation there. So just again, being intentional. How would you recommend if we were somebody that is just learning all these things for the first time, or it's just clicking right now and mm-hmm. it hasn't before, where do you start? Because it can also be so overwhelming,
mm-hmm.
right?
Well, I mean, to counter what you were saying about that it's easier maybe in the short term,
mm-hmm.
but it's all kind of hard, right? It's hard to exercise, but then it's hard to be hospitalized with chronic illness when you're older.
Yeah.
And it's hard to focus on your health. But then it's also hard to have to deal with like the consequences of all of these diseases. Having a good marriage is hard. Having a bad marriage is hard. Like you just have to kind of choose right. your hard. And mm-hmm. if you can always make the choice to glorify God with what you're doing, I think that you'll be on a better path. As far as yes. what people can do, I think just knowing that you're worth taking care of and deciding to love your body enough to take care of yourself.
He bought you at a price, mm-hmm. like you just read. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And so making a decision to research about, I mean, like you said, sometimes people can't exercise. Walking is the best thing. It's very low impact mm-hmm. on your joints. Getting outside and walking is great. Advocate for yourself with like getting wellness labs drawn mm-hmm. to see if there's anything that's off. Meeting with the primary care or just any sort of provider that can kind of help you get on that road. And then there's so many little things that you can do, sleep mm-hmm. habits, those types of things.
Yeah, like going to bed at the same time every mm-hmm. night is helpful, right? Mm-hmm. The time change really threw me off this year.
Gosh, yeah. The next thing too.
I actually think it does mm-hmm. every year, but every year I'm so surprised mm-hmm. by how tired I am at like 5 p.m. Like, mm-hmm. I think that those are all really great. And actually, like how you were saying, so one thing is I love that you say advocating for yourself is a part of like caring for yourself. Mm-hmm. I really don't feel like I've heard that. And it's just been a theme in my life lately. So mm-hmm. I don't know. God's just really clicking that in for me. And then yes, being worth uh-huh. like, cause you are worth it to him. Mm-hmm. He loves you so much. Mm-hmm. Like, he wants you to advocate for yourself mm-hmm. and to be healthy. And advocating for yourself isn't even just with doctors. It is advocating for time mm-hmm. to go work out or walk or whatever it is. Mm-hmm.
And then women, I think we're the worst at being kind of our own, like we just nitpick at ourselves. Mm-hmm. We're so much meaner to ourselves than we are to anybody else. And so, yeah, you were bought at a price. Love your body, love yourself, even if you're at any stage, right? If you have an extra 20 pounds on, if you're menstruating, if you're mm-hmm. postpartum, if you're hormonal, like it's all okay. You were made on purpose.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so loved. Yes. I love that so much. I just wanted to share one more story. And I mean this, I'm sure I do the same thing, but it's so much easier to see my husband's flaws than my own. And I love him so much. And he was so great about it. But he was going through a phase where he would work. He works like pretty strenuous. He's a mechanic, a field mechanic. So he's like drives his field or his truck, his service truck out and works on huge equipment and mm-hmm. all of that. It's very physically demanding. And he wasn't eating lunch. Mm-hmm. And then he would come home and be not the happiest person ever, mm-hmm. Grumpy actually. And he would admit this and we've actually resolved this since, but it would be grumpy and like, just, yeah, it wasn't fun. And so finally, after a couple of weeks of praying about it, I talked to him about it and I was like, this was not your intention, but I feel like you're not taking the time at work to stop eating, like, because it's so important that this mm-hmm. that you can't even eat, which is a human need. Mm-hmm. I was like, but then when you get home, you're not present and you're not, mm-hmm. you can't show up in the ways that you usually do. And, mm-hmm. And I miss that. And he was like, no, you're so right. Like I definitely was neglecting myself there. And then it came out in other ways mm-hmm. later when I do want to be present. Mm-hmm. So it's again, choosing your heart. Like mm-hmm. it might be hard to make time to eat lunch or pack mm-hmm. a lunch or whatever. But then, yeah, it's harder to watch your kids be sad because mm-hmm. you don't have the energy to play with them or
you're getting frustrated with them for little reasons that you maybe wouldn't have otherwise, or getting in an argument with your significant other just because you didn't sleep well or drink mm-hmm. enough water or go exercise that day, you know? So if you're off, then you're just going to not serve your family either.
For sure. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I've definitely done that, but that just happened. So it's prominent on my mind. Thought I'd throw him under the bus real quick.
Yeah.
but no, this was great. I am very thankful for what you shared. I really felt Holy Spirit. And I just think that this is going to help people. Is it okay if they have questions or anything like that, message us?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then obviously if it's like a concerning personal medical question, mm-hmm. set up an appointment with a primary care mm-hmm. doctor or anything like that.
Yeah.
But if it's too. If it's just general questions about the connection between mind and body and mm-hmm. spirit, yes, message yeah. me, or if you have Trish anywhere, you can message her. But if not, I will get the message to her.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is our last podcast really? Of this season.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's
so cool. I really want to pray. So will you okay. pray with me absolutely. For all these ladies? Okay. Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you so much for Trisha. Thank you so much for all of the guests that have been on this season. They have blessed me with their wisdom that you have given them and the gifts that you have given them and the ways that you've uniquely made them, Lord. And I know that they've blessed others as well. God, I just pray that whatever it is that that the specific woman listening right now needs to hear, Lord, that you just speak to her heart loud and clear. God, make your love tangible to her. Let her know that she is worthy because you bought her, because your son died on a cross for her. That is how worthy she is, how loved she is, God. And at the end of the day, that is what matters, God, our relationship with you and just knowing how loved we are by you, being able to use our gifts and callings to glorify you, God, and just letting our emotions be not ruling us, but not hidden, and just letting them bring us back to you, God, in that connection. Comfort those who are mourning. Let those that feel joy just share it with you and others. And Lord, just please let every woman know how worthy she is in your eyes. We love you, and we are so thankful for the Holy Sisterhood. God, thank you for this space, and let it glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm.